When did you first notice the financial problems?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, probably it was back in October of last year when the board, we look at financials every month, and we noticed a cash flow issue at that time, so we immediately started making changes to address that.
What changes?
The first thing that we did, we looked at our organization, and we realized that we could save some money by making some organizational changes, and the primary part of that was we had an accountant on staff with United Way, and we realized that we could get probably improved service for what we do. And our, you know, just to let you know, our finances at United Way, it's very complex. And we have 25 partners that we fund. In addition to that, we have a state employee charitable campaign, and we have, you know, numerous partners that we fund through that. So it's very complex. And so we realized that we could probably get improved information flow if we hired a contracted CPA outside rather than have that done in-house. In addition to that, it also provides an outside set of eyes looking at our finances.
And when was that done?
That was done in, I believe it was in November or December.
Do you know, Phil? Is that right?
Were there audit? You mentioned the fact that there's an ongoing audit right now. You brought in SeidelTrader. Have there been outside audits in the past?
Yes. I mean, just like any nonprofit, we have audits done on an annual basis, and that's, you know, that's we're actually in the process of completing our last year's audit right now. And, you know, just to add, the audits that we've received in the past have been clean, but what Seidel Schroeder is doing is not just looking at a normal audit, but they're looking a lot more deeper into our accounts, into all of our finances, to see if there's anything else that comes up that we need to address.
And Kim, what I might add is we're considering it more of an internal review that comprehensively addresses where our accounting issues went wrong, where our budgets sit, where our cash flow is, much more detailed even than what an audit particularly measures, because 4 to 5 clean audits can give you, have literally given us a clean bill of health to this point. So what we really needed was a more in-depth review that could pinpoint what the problems were rather than another audit.
How in-depth did those audits go that showed everything to be okay?
Well, they're standard nonprofit audits, and so they're essentially they pinpointed none of the issues that we're addressing today on those audits.
Well, actually, because the United Way is a contractor to the state of Texas for the 211, the audit does meet the standard for government accounting as well, because we do receive over $300,000 in the contract with the state. So it's a thorough examination, but it doesn't look at your systems. Mm-hmm. It looks to see, did the money go where the money was supposed to be spent, which was the case. But what Seidel Schroeder is looking at is our system of how we're collecting the money, and the checks and balances, making sure that we received all the money that we thought we were supposed to get. And that's really been part of the issue.
I know that initially some of the agencies were told that they possibly got overpayments, or, you know, how did that come about? What made people think that was the case?
Sure, that's a good question. When we first got into this process of trying to figure out what was going on, we looked back and did a review of exactly what payments had been made and what our contract said that they should have been paid. And in that process, one of the things that we identified, we made a kind of a fiscal year, allocation year change in 2010, and because of that, there were 3 months that we paid our agencies that were not included in the contract. And so that kind of highlighted an issue, and it kind of came up as we've overpaid those agencies. Once we went back and reviewed that, we realized even though we didn't have a contract in place for those 3 months, our intent, our spirit of what we do, we were going to pay them for that. So we considered that to be part of what we owed them, even though it didn't show up at first. So since then, we've looked back at it, and we are not, from what we see, we're not overpaid right now to any of our agencies.
Does the board meet monthly?
Correct. We do meet monthly.
So what happened from the September board meeting to the October board meeting that sent all the red flags up?
I think it was just a issue with cash flow. The cash comes in all throughout the year because the state campaign is a January 1st start year, whereas the community campaign starts in September, and some campaign dollars come in immediately, some are a pledge and they come in over the next 12 months. Some companies, it's a fiscal year for them issue. So that's, when Ken said it's very complex, it is very complex to deal with the revenue side of it, because it's so difficult to judge when all of it's going to come in. And then especially with the state campaign, the issue is there's a pledge amount that we're told, but there wasn't always that amount received because, as we know, we had significant layoffs over the last 2 years at A&M, and so revenue that was pledged was not always received. But the state doesn't always have a mechanism for telling us that. Well, they don't have one at all. So it's up to us to figure it out, but we don't know before the end of the year that we didn't get what we were told in the beginning we were going to get because of the payroll deductions of employees that are left. So that was something that's an anomaly because historically, A&M has never had a layoff, and we've never experienced that. So we weren't prepared to look for it, and it was going on for a two-year period, but was finally starting to show up as we're not getting as much money as we thought, but we're spending it. So where's the disconnect? And that's when the red flags went up.
What are some of the changes that you have implemented or you will implement to hopefully be able to better see the income that's coming in versus what's being paid out?
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the things that we're talking about today, in fact, our board retreats today, and we have Seidel Schroeder's coming to our meeting to talk about kind of things where we're going with our financial processes. One of the things that we're looking at doing is just the reports that our board receives. We need those to be a lot more practical, make a lot more sense to the average person. You don't have to be an accountant to review that. And so that's one of the things we're looking at doing, have better reporting processes in place. In addition to that, you know, like we said before, there's two different campaigns that the United Way runs. There's a state employee charitable campaign, which is all state government, and then we have the local community campaign. In the past, the way that we fund our partners, it's kind of a mix of both of those for some of our locally funded partners. And one of the things we want to do is we want to put a clean line between those two campaigns so there's no mixing between those two different pots of money. And, I mean, Phil, you may have more to add on that.
Well, what I'd say is the bottom line is the accounting. When you get into it, it gets complex real quick. Setting those two pots, specifically with a firewall in between them is a high priority. Having an outside accountant changes the realm of this incredibly. We've been paying a substantial salary to an in-house accountant, and because they were an in-house accountant, because it was so complex, and because accountants are typically paid more than even we were paying them, it was difficult to have a long-term accounting relationship with an internal accountant. So if you're changing that every time you turn around, if you are kind of blurring the line of pots, you can see how real quick. And I think, honestly, what exacerbated the problem, what brought it to what it is today, is the recession and downturned economic times. If pledge loss was already a figure that we had not really calculated to the maximum of our ability, then that pledge loss really increased over the period of time that folks were hurting across the community. I think it's a story that you're going to hear from nonprofits, if you haven't already, from across the community. So, you know, if I were to pinpoint crucial changes that were made, it would be the outside controller creating a line between SECC budget and community campaign budget, and taking the advice of our outside controller and consultant, and looking at even more in-depth audits than what we have. Because if an audit doesn't raise a red flag to you, then what good is an audit? So I, you know, it certainly has our attention. I've seen this board spring to action and really do some great work. The Finance Committee has met weekly, and I fully expect that there's going to be more changes as we move forward and more details come out.
So do you anticipate, not only you've got this in-depth review that you've referred mm-hmm. to, because you said it's not really fair to call it an audit.
Sure.
Do you anticipate doing that annually from now on?
I
go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I think that anything that we do moving forward is going to be measured upon what needs to be done. What I see is Seidel and Schroeder, because they're an external entity, it's really their job to check us as we go. I feel like we're getting an internal review monthly, just by having this outside accountant do things. If we feel like there's still changes that need to be done, you know, over the next 4 years to get to where we need to be, or the next five, or every year from now on, we will vigorously go after that and make sure that we do it. So it's early to say whether or not a complete internal review of absolutely everything to the level of detail that we're doing it now should be done every year, but if it warrants it, we will, absolutely.
You mentioned that you don't think that so far there's been no evidence of any criminal wrongdoing. Has any law enforcement agency been involved in this in any capacity?
Well, you answer that one, Phil.
You know, what we have done is we've asked what are some standard procedures for moving forward, and the questions that were answered were, if there is any evidence or anything that you could find that would suggest that something is missing or something is not coming together, then we should, and we would be, as good stewards of community dollars, we would go forward to the district attorney and the police department and let them know that. To this point, we have seen no reason to do that. Should our review yield something that we are not expecting, we will do so with swift force.
And that's one of the things Sidell Schrader's been asked to also to spend their time looking for, to see if they have any evidence of it, and of course then they would be obligated to report it not only to the board but also and they've had 3 or 4 months of looking, and it would have come up if there had been such. It's really just 3 or 4 factors that any one of them probably wouldn't have caused a significant cash flow problem, but the 3 or 4 together, the changing the fiscal year, which then we funded the extra 3 months that we didn't budget, when we did that in consultation with our audit firm, changing our fiscal year was going to, we thought, make managing the money easier, and it will long term, but we didn't want to harm the community partners by making them wait an extra 3 or 4 months for funding, so we just extended it. And then, oops, that wasn't budgeted really. So, and then the loss of revenue from the SECC pledges and some pledges from the community, and we hadn't set up an adequate reserve for that. And so, you know, the combination of the 3 or 4 things is what really has brought about the significance of it.
Is Texas A&M the only specific example you can give us of pledges that were made that didn't actually come in?
No, that's not the case at all. I mean, because we run those two campaigns separately, we track that separately, and we've identified A&M was the first flag that came up. I mean, not A&M, I shouldn't say that. It's a state employee charitable campaign, which is all state government.
Yeah.
When we looked at that, in 2009, that pledge loss was 12%. So 12% of the pledges that were made didn't actually come in, and that's easily explainable by the economic situation that we're in. And then last year in 2010, that number was 7%. So we track that for the state campaign and then also for the local campaign. I mean, typically we've seen pledge loss around 7% on the community campaign side, but right now we're still trying to calculate exactly what that is. It's a lot more complex to calculate it when you've got, you know, 100 different or more than 100 different companies and individuals giving to a campaign. It's easier to track on the state side, but we're still working on that number on the community campaign side.
And Ken, if I could say, you know, many of us have lived in this community for a long time, and we understand the impact of what state jobs mean here. And Texas A&M University is a huge economic giant in the community, and the actions that happen there for the first time, A&M has, or for the first time in a very, very long time, they have cut jobs. But we should no way only blame A&M for this. What happened is A&M may have given us the idea of the trend that was happening as we analyzed the numbers. We're able to see it in the private sector and public sector job loss, and therefore pledge loss.
And when we say A&M, we don't mean any. A&M has nothing really significantly to do with it. It's charitable campaign trust that is operated through A&M.
Individuals
by the employees
that participate.
Because just as a matter of background, employees have the option of donating any number of campaigns.
Absolutely.
United Way is one of those entities.
Right. It's not the administration's responsibility in any way.
Right. Yeah. What do you have to say to someone who might be considering giving to the United Way and now says, hey, these guys don't seem to be minding the house very well?
You know, the one thing I would say to that is, you know, every dollar that's coming United Way, we have allocated it out to agencies. It's not a question of we're doing something different with the money. We just have over-allocated. We've actually allocated out more money than we have coming in. And so that's, you know, that's where we are now, trying to figure out how to handle that. But there's no question at all that every dollar that comes in United Way is going out to help our neighbors in need. That's not an issue at all.
An example of that, for the last, because as Ken said, I'm now off the board, but I've been on the board for 6 years, and we've had numerous debates about setting up a reserve fund for the United Way. Most organizations have a reserve, and logically, it's a good thing to have. But our mission is to fund our partners and make sure we get as much money in their hands, because they're the rubber on the road, so to speak. They're serving the clients. And so every time that would come up, we go, yeah, but, you know, there's such a need in our community that we really need to put this money out there. So had we set aside $200,000 over the last 5 or 6 years, a little bit each year, and set up a reserve, we would have weathered this situation, the recession, without skipping a beat. We would have gone to our reserve fund. But our board chose, and I think the rightly so, that it was, you know, we needed to put the money where it was needed, which was in the hands of our partner agencies. And to that extent, we put ourselves in a financial bind. And, you know, looking back, okay, maybe if we'd have known this day was coming, we'd have done it differently, but we didn't. And so I feel like that the board has always felt like, and so to a potential new donor or investor in our, is we've always put the agencies first. We've always felt like the money that you trust us with should be spent serving the needs of our community. That's what is United Way's purpose. That's the reason for our existence. So we've been very aggressive in that, and maybe to our own detriment. But
is the reserve fund an option that's on the table in the future?
Now, that will be the new board's decision as to whether they will. We got to get ourselves back healthy first, and we're on the road to that. I believe that the purpose of today is to make sure the community is confident in this board, and they should be, because this will now be one of the cleanest organizations in town, because it's been audited and reviewed, and there is no evidence of anything but paying more money than we had had revenue to cover. It was aggressive on the board's part and the staff part, but you know, that's,
is that something you think the new board is considering for the future then?
I mean, I think it's definitely something we'll look at. You know, our first priority right now is to make sure that we can fulfill our end of the you know, with our partner agencies, the agreements that we've made, and then once we figure out, you know, get that answered, then we'll look to the future. And I think that is something that we'll look at, is finding a way that we have kind of a rainy day fund if something like this happens again.
I'd say that everything is on the table, and what is ultimately important is the public trust. And while I can understand there will be questions, the one thought that remains in my mind is we have yet to find any theft, fraud, or abuse with malicious intent of any sort. And what we have found is that we have been an aggressive community partner in putting absolutely as many resources or as much as we can out in the community to the organization's detriment at some level. And so what have we done? We've been a little too aggressive in putting too much out there. But it's because we believe in our partner organizations. We believe in the vital services that they perform. And to me, that is the most, yes, there are budgeting practices that need to change. There are items that we have already changed, and there will be more changes. But ultimately, what we have done is put too much out there for organizations that we believe perform vital services.
Have any changes been made to the way the staff operates or oversight of any of the staff members?
You know, right now, staff and United Way are working together. We're working through these things, and, you know, we're trying to develop that plan together, working forward, and there's changes that are being made on both sides, and we're just coaching each other on how to do things better in the future.
Is anything changing specifically with that in-house accountant?
Well, yeah, well, back in October is when we made the decision to change directions with the in-house accountant. We no longer have an in-house accountant, but we depend totally for the accounting oversight on Seidel Schroeder to do that.
That position was eliminated.
And the payment that's going to be made tomorrow, do you guys have a specific amount available for us?
Yeah, the total amount that will be going out tomorrow is about $135,000. And what that is, it is going to be for 1 month for all of our locally funded partner agencies, and then for those state employee charitable campaign agencies, they'll be getting a quarter, so one quarter payment for 3 months.
Okay.